What's up and welcome in to Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And, well, Gabe Neitzel is looking to find more rookies to help his Milwaukee Brewers, apparently. He doesn't have time to spend time with us. That's okay. We'll just move forward anyway, Brian.
That's right. He lives at Miller Park now, and maybe when he joins us, we'll appreciate it.
Maybe one day he'll realize he's on a very well-listened-to wrestling show and spend time with us on the show. But nonetheless, don't forget to be able to find us on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe what we do on YouTube and also on the podcast as well. Subscribe to the podcast. It grows every single week, every single month. Thank you so much for your support for Good Karma Wrestling. Also on Instagram, at Good Karma Wrestling. Follow us there, the whole word, Good Karma Wrestling. Well, there's a lot happening this summer when it comes to pro wrestling, and there's a lot of big-time stories. But what's the big headline, Brian, when it comes to our show here today?
Well, we are days away. WWE makes their way to Saudi Arabia, for better or worse, I guess. 1 o'clock Eastern, Night of Champions this weekend. We have six matches announced so far. The world title, Cena versus CM Punk. King of the Ring, Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. Queen of the Ring, Asuka versus Jade Cargill. Jacob Fatu defends the U.S. title against Solo. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez in a street fight. And Sami Zayn takes on Karrion Kross. Which match are you most interested in this weekend?
You know, oddly enough, I'm interested in Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross. And I know that this matchup is taking place because Dominic Mysterio has an injury. That came out of nowhere on Monday Night Raw, by the way. I don't think I saw that. I sit down and like, what? He's not wrestling? How come Dom's not in there? But I'm interested in Karrion Kross. It's one of these things where Karrion Kross more than likely was not going to be on the card. You know, WWE does not do the pre-shows or the warm-up matches, stuff like that, or the standby matches. So Karrion Kross gets an opportunity here to take on Sami Zayn. And Kross has had an opportunity on multiple occasions to be able to connect with someone, AJ Styles or Sami Zayn or someone. Now Kross has his opportunity. And I think even in Saudi Arabia, I think that Kross is going to get quite the ovation for him to be on a PLE.
Yeah, it's a curious test of the Karrion Kross fixation right now. Like, fans are into him. He mentioned it on the show. He's only had one Raw match in 2025. He's dominating main event, which if you could find that, congrats to you. I can't tell you where to watch that show. And now we get the PLE match, and we know the match will be good. That's what Sami Zayn does. So I'm curious to see the reaction there and if it travels overseas, because these overseas crowds have been very into it. Saudi Arabia is a little bit different, but this is a big test for old Karrion this weekend.
So the biggest pop probably will go to Sami Zayn because it's in Saudi Arabia. Yep. We've seen this before. He will speak the language. I'm sure he'll take the mic, and that's going to get the crowd going. But I think that Kross will get his – I think he will get his applause too, because he's just become the sensation. And, of course, thanks to Good Karma Wrestling, Kross is over.
Right.
Yeah, because as the interview you did with him went viral – and so everyone's taking clips off of it, and people are like, wow, look how great he was in the conversation you had with him. So now he's over, and he should thank us for that, because otherwise he'd just be an underneath talent no one cares about. How about that?
That's the weird part, though, is that, like, he still sort of is an underneath talent. Like, he now will have equal amount of TV matches as he will PLE matches after this weekend's over. Like, they're not putting him out there at all, and they're almost reluctant to it, where it's like, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's a very odd thing that I don't know if we've ever seen in pro wrestling.
Well, there's where Triple H and Vince McMahon are the same, right?
Right.
Just because the crowd likes you doesn't mean that you're over. Sure. And that's unfortunate, because it's like anything else. How did R-Truth get back into the companies? Because the people in the back and the fans and social media made a difference. Well, what about Karrion Kross? He can't – I mean, he gets a lot of TV time for a reason. Yeah. Not just because he's the old Just Joe character, and I know it was short-lived in the early 2000s. Back on SmackDown, he would be there, and he'd be like the devil on someone's shoulder, and they just knock him out. Well, I mean, this is an opportunity now for Karrion Kross to more likely lose the match, sure, but just for him to be in the spotlight, and the reaction he's going to get, I think, is going to be special. Am I missing a match that you would like?
Yeah, the one I throw out there, I think it's very sink or swim, but Jade Cargill versus Asuka. We've seen the improvement from Jade. They've put her out some big spots. Monday was not a great match with Roxanne Perez. But to be out there with Asuka, where I assume Jade's going to go over, it's a big spot for Jade. And I think it's sort of sink or swim this weekend.
Man, I could see Jade as Queen of the Ring, but against a powerhouse like Asuka. When I'm saying powerhouse, not in stature. I'm talking about in ability, right? Brian, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
I think that we enjoy Asuka, and we've missed her for the last 12, 13 mm-hmm. months. But man, Jade Cargill in that last match, it was just okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another gear. Let's just be honest, okay? Just because it's you and I and the GKW audience. So what's the difference between Jade Cargill and AEW and WWE as far as skill set?
Nothing. I feel like we saw some flashes, but now I'm wondering if it was just her being protected. Mania last year when she was in that six-man, I remember us having rave reviews. I don't remember who they faced, but it was her, Naomi. I guess I forgot most of the match. They faced damage control. But there was like rave reviews. We were happy with it. And now the time off, and she's going to have time off again for a movie. Like, it feels sort of stagnant, but a good performance on a Saturday, and Asuka has that ability to carry someone. We're like, all right, there is something there.
She just looks so impressive. As we talked about last week, I mean, 4 years or less, she should be out of the business and doing movies. I mean, look at her. I mean, she's chiseled, and she's, again, a great promo. She's gotten better with her promos, that's for sure. And just, to me, it's a hard sell to say, yeah, Asuka is going to have to do the job. But, I mean, this is how you push talent. You got to find out whether or not Jade can do it or not. And so Queen of the Ring is great. But is there another match that we're missing that should maybe be in third place here for this show?
In terms of like the wrestling side, I mean, there's not much else that gets me excited. Rhea and Raquel, not high hopes there. I mean, it's a street fight, but it's something for Rhea to do. We've talked a lot on the show about Raquel and the sort of disconnect there. Fatu and Solo, like, it felt like this could have been a Mania match, and now it's sort of thrown in on this one. And that almost feels like it might be a squash.
I guess so. Could you imagine Solo winning because of outside interference from JC Mateo and someone else that's involved in like a Bloodline 2.0, 3.0 scenario?
That seems like a waste of thought too, if you're going to end the title run like that fast.
This is coming from the guy that doesn't like the former world heavyweight champion. How dare you?
I mean, I would take Fatu over Jey Uso 10 times out of 10. That's 20 fine. Times out of 10.
That's fine, but you can't say, well, that title range is too short. Huh? Did we not just see it as a short title reign? Did you not see that?
Fatu deserves it, though. Fatu can go in the ring, so I'm fine with him being a champion.
I understand. I understand. but what about the, you know, the world championship matches? What about that?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Cena and how Cena has not really shown the five-star classics that, you know, he used to be able to pull out. I don't even know if Punk can pull it out of him, to be honest with you. Like, we'll talk more about the pipe bomb, but in terms of the in-ring this weekend, I do not have high hopes for that match at all.
I just think that when I see Cena in there, and they we're trying to give him the benefit of doubt sometimes, like the tag team match he had, and I just thought it was just okay. I know he's hurting. He's got some pain, and he's just trying to go through it. I understand why he is the world champion is because he's going through this heel phase, but it's too bad we can't get Super Cena as a heel strong that could be able to go 20 minutes, 25 minutes and have a classic. He's just not – he doesn't have that anymore in him. And against CM Punk, you were talking about two guys that might be fragile in this matchup, right? I mean, if Punk extends himself too much, he can – mess up a shoulder or an arm because we've seen this before, right?
Do you think any shot Punk leaves his champ?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But again, it's the bag of tricks from Cena, isn't it?
Right.
The bag of tricks of Cena is it's like, I'm going to find a way out of this by disqualification, nut shot, or pull the referee. Like he's doing like 1980s tricks now of being able to retain the title. It's Flair all over again. Like he doesn't have to do much. Is that sweating a lot, right? And right. So it's too bad because that last match should be really good, and I don't think it will be.
And then the weird part, so Cena retained. Cena will then defend the title at SummerSlam against King of the Ring, which we will crown a King of the Ring with one of the young upstarts, Cody Rhodes or Randy Orton will be King of the Ring this weekend.
So, yeah, I think we know the direction there. We already saw the Randy Orton match do it, didn't we?
But we've seen the Cody match also. Like, how is this not an opportunity to get someone else in the mix?
For them to lose to Cena.
Yes.
You're just trying to I know what you're doing. You're trying to stretch this out until the end of the year. Right? Because he has limited dates.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, let's if he's gonna lose a title, let him lose a title in November, December, something like that, right?
Well, I guess the path is Cody wins it at SummerSlam.
And then Cena does what? I want my country back, Slaughter. Is he doing that? I want my country back. Sergeant Slaughter, you turned your back on America. I want my country back. I'm sorry.
And do we get a Dwayne Johnson appearance at SummerSlam and Cody turns heel so Cena can turn face?
Well, if you listen to the Kay Adams conversation that Cody had, he says, I'm not going to be a face for too much longer. How do you say that in an open microphone?
Right.
You saw the clip, him. Right?
Yeah, it was on the record.
What is going on with this company?
I don't know.
If this is AEW, we'd have an hour criticizing them. An hour.
Yes.
Like, what is Tony Khan doing? What kind of ship are he's running over there? Uh-huh. And so now you have a Cody Rhodes that feels he has a license to say that in front of Kay Adams. Like, yeah, you know, this whole babyface thing's fine, but I got a heel run in me. Like, what?
Honestly, I'd rather the Cody heel run come in AEW. But, like, yeah, to say that, it's just baffling.
I don't understand. I don't understand. If StreamYard gave us an opportunity, we'd play that clip for you, but it freezes on us, so we can't play that clip. but take our word for it. It's just exactly what happened.
He said, so, I have year left, maybe 3 years as a face, and then, you know, I'll have a heel run. It's like, what?
Yeah. I didn't understand that. Well, we got three big topics we want to give your way. By the way, leave your comments as we have our conversation here on Good Karma Wrestling. Let's start off with number one.
All right. Talking of John Cena, the build to Cena and Punk Friday night. So another pipe bomb, this one from John Cena. How would you grade the Cena pipe bomb?
Well, in Cena, the way he does the promo, it's an A because he put it in his own words. See, I know that immediately people had the comparison of the pipe bomb from CM Punk and the other one from Cena did it the way Cena wanted to do it, sure. Right? He took a little bit of the original and was able to say, well, I can't say the Jacksons and I can't say Colt Cabana, but I can use two C's and Claudio Castagnoli, and I can use
Matt Cardona and Nick Nemeth. Uh-huh. Yes. So you got Matt and Nick there.
You see what he did there?
So that's you're buying that was intentional?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to say, could you imagine him saying the Jacksons and Colt Cabana? Could you imagine him saying that on WWE TV?
No.
But from what I understand, it wasn't cleared. Cleared by Punk, cleared by WWE, cleared by whom?
I don't know. Shout out, though, friend of the show, Matt Cardona, does already have a shirt out saying, hi, Matt.
He loves to be able to capitalize, doesn't he? Uh-huh. He's a capitalist. God bless
him.
I would just say that for me, it was an A because he did the way he wanted to. And then there's a few swears in there, which shows you a little bit more heel persona for John Cena. But boy, laying down there for 8 to 10 minutes, on a broken table. Yeah. I mean, that's funny. I see people in AEW get up much quicker through a table than that. But I just thought it was really good. It's kind of a shootish way for Cena to do this, to raise the level of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's, to me, the table thing was one of the disconnects, like him laying right there. Like, I almost would have preferred Cena to go to the top of the ramp like Punk, and then Punk, like, from the ring to sort of watch, as opposed to laying there while Cena's there. And it's like, all right, like, you're going to kick out of two when that same spot happens on Saturday. Like, now you're going to lay out for 10 minutes. It's a weird look. So I give it a B+. To me, something is still missing with the Cena heel character. Like, it just feels so forced. And, like, the crowd's not as into it. And he made the comments this week of, like, oh, the crowd's going to dictate where this goes the rest of the year. It just feels like a flop still to me. Like, this was the highlight of the turn so far. But looking at it overall, it just feels like a flop.
Okay, this is not Cena's fault. It's WWE's fault. And here's why. What should have happened, Brian, is that this heel turn should have happened years ago under Vince.
Sure.
And when Vince was going to green light it, Vince said, no, come back. No, we don't have a baby face to replace you. This should have happened a long time ago. I think the circumstances of how Cody lost the championship, one, mm-hmm. because no Rock's there and Travis Scott is the reason why that Cody Rhodes lost the championship. I just think that people don't buy it. They thought that was bullshit. One, the other thing is that I think they look at this and go the way they looked at Austin when he turned heel in Houston at WrestleMania, they like, man, we still like this guy. I can't believe that he turned. And Austin, I don't think Austin, even though he wanted to turn, this is what Austin wanted. He wanted to turn. But it's almost like he forgot how. If you go back and look at that stuff, he's still got the ukulele and he's playing with Kurt Angle and all that. And he's not really being a heel and he's still kind of like liked. Same thing with John Cena. Cena's saying all the right things, but it doesn't resonate with the audience because of the way he turned.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think also like it's weird because usually like you need a dance partner and like these have been strong baby faces. Like the crowd's behind Orton, the crowd's behind CM Punk, but like, there's still just not that hatred, and like it almost feels overacted at times. Like even when he goes back to being a face, it feels like he's going to get lost in the shuffle now.
He'll still have the same reaction. John, let's go Cena. Cena sucks.
Right.
That's his legacy. That's what it is. It's too bad because I just think the other thing is too, Brian, to go back to the past and bring it to the present is that Cena has not drawn blood or did something completely dastardly for people to hate him. It's still PG. It's still one of those things where he has strong promos and he can say a lot of things, but it's not like he did things like, for instance, even The Rock going after Cody Rhodes in the rain in Rosemont, Illinois. Like he's beating his ass in the rain, or some of the stuff Kevin Owens would do. Kevin Owens, last time we saw him, is putting guys through in a pile driver, something banned by WWE. It makes you a heel. It makes you respect it, but also a heel. John's not doing any of that because John can't. I don't think he physically can.
Yeah, so another that is a big thing. Like, The Rock, you're drawing blood. You're getting the cursing there. Like, Cena is still PG, whereas WWE is sort of getting out of that era. Like, it just isn't working. And, you know, he sort of towed the line with the, like, calling Punk essentially a hypocrite, which – even some of that, like based in truth, we're like, oh, yeah, we sort of see that. Like Punk is sort of acting like a hypocrite here. But that didn't even have an impact on this crowd. Like, it's just very odd.
That's just, hey, listen, nothing against Cena. Cena said, okay, if Cody's not going to turn heel from the story that we get now, then I'll do it. I'll do it for the company, sure. But the problem is, though, is that if you really want to be a heel, you know what comes with being a heel? Heat.
Right.
That's it.
And that's to your point about WWE product. Like, if not Cena, who is the top heel in that company right now? Like, looking at this card, like,
it's Dominic Mysterio or Paul Heyman,
right? Like the Rollins thing. Like, there's not a ton of heat there. Mm-hmm. He's still hitting the catchphrases. People are barking with Braun Bronson, I guess, just because he doesn't have a catchphrase yet. Like,
that's it, though. I mean, so you know what real heat is in WWE? Five tsunamis.
Right. That's it. But if you start letting him talk, he's going to have a catchphrase and all of a sudden it's going to be different. You know, all gas, no brakes. It's like, all right, we love this guy. Like, that's the WWE model right now.
The WWE also will tell you that, well, let the fans decide. That's not wrestling.
No.
You put a product out there in which you have a baby face and a heel, and then we will boo the baby face, we will cheer the heel, and then we move forward. But with John Cena, you know, thank goodness this is going to be over at the end of the year, because at some point, I think we predicted this as well, that at some point he will do his slaughter thing, that he will be a babyface on the way out. But this comes from booking. This comes from Rock being in and out of the company and not really giving the platform for Cena to get actual heat on someone because he can't do it.
Right. Like, it's just so weird.
He also doesn't have like an entourage. Say Cena's the face of an entourage of three or four guys. Sure. Okay, let them be the muscle. They're younger. Let them beat the hell out of somebody and Cena. It's kind of like we see with Rollins in some ways. But they're not even doing that.
Like, play that out. Like, Cena as Rollins, do we think differently of the heel turn if that's what it looks like?
I think so. I don't think John gets cheered that way.
Right.
I think, especially if, say, he had Paul Heyman as a mouthpiece. Okay, that's heat because he doesn't mind insulting the city and the wrestlers and building stories and all that. And then you have Seth Rollins or you have Bron Breakker or you have imagine that. Now he's got protection. And also now his matches make sense.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, he's got a 6-minute match. Oh, that's all right. He's got help. That's why he's got a 6-minute match.
And I think also in that situation, he plays the Roman role. We don't need him there every week. Like, Heyman is there every week. Bron's there. Bronson's there. Like, that would honestly work a hell of a lot better than it's working right now.
Hey, clip that. I think we got something there. I think we might have something there. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe what we do here on Good Karma Wrestling every Thursday live here. And let's go to number two, Brian.
All right. Fightful reports that Stone Cold Steve Austin around WrestleMania weekend told multiple people he might have one more match in him. So let's get out the pencils. Who should Stone Cold face in his final match?
Austin Theory.
All right. He still works there?
Yeah, sure. He does the Austin impression. Sure, why not? So here's the problem. In WWE, Austin doesn't have any more contemporaries. After Goldberg wins or loses against Gunther, whatever happens there, like there's no Undertaker rolling down. There's no guys from the Attitude Era, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, X-Pac, on and on, Rock. Those guys are not wrestling anymore. So now it's got to be somebody from the current roster. So it's got to be someone that Austin likes on the roster. And I don't know who that is.
Yeah, like we've talked about it the last few weeks. Like there is a void of young talent in this company right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like a young star getting this match would be a hell of an opportunity. The three names I wrote down are all, I think, over the age of 40. Like there is no young star that you look at and say, all right, let's give him a shot. Like, Jacob Fatu is young by WWE standards. He would break Austin. Like, that would not work out.
Yes, he would. Yes,
and he doesn't need that. Like, as over as he is right now, he doesn't need that opportunity. But who else?
So,
Grayson Waller? You want to do that?
No. I mean, you want to do a joke match? Go ahead. Like, sure. That's fine. But here's the thing. Austin, one more match. What does that look like? I think it looks more like the Kevin Owens match we saw.
Sure. I think it looks exactly like that. So, to me, though, do we get enough of a build? The three I wrote are Punk, literally just for the mic battles and letting those two cut promos on each other. I think those two can make it entertaining. Mm-hmm. I wrote down Orton. I feel like maybe you get something there, like legend versus legend, and do something fun. And the third one I wrote down is really just for the like fantasy booking is Cena.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
It wouldn't be a good match, but it would be the once in a lifetime. I think it would only be once. And, like, you could bill it as that. It's just, like, two faces of eras going one-on-one. Like that's something we've never seen before.
I think that there's money in Punk against Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of money in that. I think that matchup would be box office. I'm just trying to figure out who goes over.
True.
That would be – I think Pepsi Phil would put Austin over, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he respects that enough.
The wrestling fan in him, I believe, looks at it and says, you know what, I think that Austin... But then again, see, with Austin, it's strange because he's been away from the company so much. What does he think? Does he think that he has to win his last match? Is it that important for him, or is it important to put someone over? I don't know where he stands with that.
I agree. I feel like, though, if you're Punk and it's Punk Austin, like he's going to play the Brett role. Like, that's what they're going to do. Like, one of them will be bloody in a sharpshooter. Like, that's how that match will end.
Yes. I just think that because Austin, all he ever did in WWE is throw right hands and kick people. I just don't know what kind of match that is. I mean, and then Punk's not good with fists. I think he's okay. Yeah. Can he go blow for blow? Because every time I see a shoot interview about Austin, the opposing wrestler says, oh, my God, I felt like I was in a real fight. because Austin can't pull his punches. Like, it's real. Like, Owens just said this to Chris Van Vliet, I think, just the other day. Just like, yeah, man, he just put knots on my head. Just like in that fight we had at WrestleMania. It's crazy.
Punk is a former UFC fighter, though. I mean, he's a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Yes.
He stepped in the octagon.
Sure. It'll be more of a real fight with Austin than it was those UFC fights. I'll say that right now. I think we hit on something. I think that Punk is the story. I think that would be the wrestler because I'm looking at this young roster right now, Brian, on my phone. There's a lot of guys that's just in this company not ready for that.
Right.
Like I wrote down AJ Styles and I'm just like, yeah, but AJ had his matchup against The Undertaker, and of course that was heavily edited, and that was fine. But like Styles flying around on Steve Austin, don't think that works.
And even like Braun's the closest thing to a young star. Does he need that? And like, could you trust him in the ring with Austin?
I mean, look, he's still green, but he's dynamic. I just don't know. Like, the way he flies around, Austin needs to get a hold of him and start punching him.
Austin doesn't need to take one of those Bron Breakker spears.
I'm just saying, man. Like, it just
that would not be well for us as fans to watch.
I think a slower dance partner works.
Yeah.
I'll cross off Cena, because even though that looks great on a you know, as far as a bill is concerned, put that on the marquee. But I think that would work. CM Punk against Stone Cold Steve Austin, once in a lifetime. Book it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm just trying to think, like, even looking at the card this weekend, like, Sammy
doesn't need the match.
He doesn't. So the way I would write the story, they've been pushing a lot, like, oh, you're never going to be world champ. You're never going to be world champ. Maybe Austin comes back as one of those, like, oh, yeah, like, this is what you need to do. Sammy has to beat a former world champion to prove he can do it. We know Sammy can slow it down and do whatever style-wise.
Sammy doesn't need the match, and I don't want Sammy to lose against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Sammy, you put him in there with anyone. We saw what he did with, you know, Knoxville, and he put on a great match.
Like, yeah, I think it's time, as Sammy says, I want to be world heavyweight champion. Don't like that he lost on Monday Night. Don't like that. Just so, once again, just underneath talent. You know, I don't want that for him. I want better for him.
And also, does this have to be Mania for Austin? If we're getting another one.
Oh, it's got to be Mania, man. It's got to be Mania. You know, it's got to be the top. It's got to be the top of the top. He ain't coming in for Backlash.
So Punk once again gets a night one main event, but not a night two?
A good middle of the card match.
He's coming back and not main eventing?
Well, someone's got to be first. That's fine. Put it on early. Get it out of there. We got better fish to fry, Brian. We don't have time for this.
Maybe that's when they move back to Vegas, just for Austin's schedule.
Who's booking this, McMahon? Main event? Oh, no. Semi-main one of those nights. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Night one or night? Well, definitely not night two. Definitely not night one.
Night one.
Him? No. It's a special attraction match.
Ah, okay.
You see that? That's a let me up match.
Gotcha.
After the women.
They call it a main event and there's five matches after it. Got it.
Well, you know what? They call it the old co-main event. Uh-huh. That's what they do. So, yeah. So that's what that is.
All right.
So that's what I do. All right. What's next? Number two?
Number three. According to reports, Tony Khan and AEW are now being a little more selective with their signing of ex-WWE superstars. So the ones they have signed, which ex-WWE superstar has been the best in AEW so far?
Which ex-WWE superstar has been the best? Well, for me, it is Mercedes Moné. I know that there's some on social media, Brian, that are saying, I miss Sasha Banks. I wish she comes back to wrestling. No, actually, this woman right here with her six championships is the best that we have seen. Mm-hmm. It's the best of her that we have seen. The promo's gotten some better, but the in-ring action, when you go to Japan and you go to England and you go to all over the country and you go to the United States and you are wrestling at a high level against different type of talent, Mexico, we just saw, beating Zeus for the championship there. Brian, she's in her bag right now. And so at some point, we're going to have a discussion here on GKW about where we place her amongst the best we've ever seen. That's a real conversation. All those titles. Yeah. Now, listen, to our audience, it may not mean a lot because it's not WWE. But the point is, for me, when you wrestle those many different styles and different wrestlers and you're going from place to place and they're putting you on top, that means you're pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, she made history last week, the first one ever, the Garden, Arena Mexico, Tokyo Dome.
And Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, so, like, she crossed off all those. I guess I didn't think about her because, to me, like, her ability was never in doubt. Like, she, to me, was always the best of the best. Like, she, to me, among the four horsewomen, is the best wrestler of that group. So none of that is surprising to me. When I was thinking about this question, was thinking about someone that when you saw him in WWE, it's like, yeah, like something's not there. And now we're seeing another side in AEW. To me, it's Ricochet. I did not know Ricochet had this personality, had this in him to where everything he does right now is entertaining. Like, he is must-see TV in the back. He's not even involved in a big storyline right now, but he's someone that you want to see in the ring every week, not just because of his wrestling ability.
Yeah, this guy here is definitely in his bag. When you watch this guy, It's the heel tactics. We always knew he could wrestle, but the personality. WWE did not allow him to have his personality. They said he was a bad promo. See what happens. See what happens.
Yeah.
You go to WWE. Oh, that guy can't talk. He's a bad promo. Oh my God. Don't put the mic in front of him. He is killing it.
Right.
Killing it. He is, and have on top of the great matches. I just think that you talk about heel and trying to get heat. He does it every time. And also he's that character on social media too.
Right.
If you've been reading his social media, like he's that guy on camera, off camera, on social media. And that's what your persona is supposed to be.
Yeah. So it's exciting to see that. I mean, the other ones I wrote down are top of the line guys and girls like Mox, Tony Storm, Swerve. Like, I already know, like, Tony and Swerve, you even count them as ex-WWE because they were just so low mid-card.
They're NXT guys, like Swerve was. So, I mean, this is the best that we've seen from Swerve.
Oh, yeah.
You and I have to dig through Defy tapes to find whether or not Swerve Strickland was any good, right? We have to go through the Portland tapes. And so there it is. Like, of course, he's on top of his game. Tony Storm could be part of that as well. Was she not in NXT?
Yeah, she was. And she was, you know, on WWE television. She was on SmackDown. And, like, that is someone in both of them, in Tony and Swerve. Those are faces of the company.
So here's a topic about the same thing. So what's a better run? Christian as a solo in WWE, Christian as a solo in TNA, Christian as a solo in AEW. What's the better run? Because he was TNA champion, as you recall.
Yeah.
And Vince did not believe him as a singles once they split up Edge and Christian. I think they had a blue dot. You had to look that. There was like a time where Christian was coming down to the ramp and they put a blue dot on his face. Have you seen this?
No,
it's true. Like, because Vince didn't want to see his face. He always thought no one wants to see him. Huh. Bruce Pritchard pushed for Christian a lot.
Yeah.
And he's like, his face. I can't stand his face. So he put a blue dot on him.
Yeah. I don't remember that at all. Wow.
Real story.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of the TNA one, but that was a big deal. And like, that WWE stuff was so good. Like, what was it? Tomko? That was his muscle back then. Yeah. Like,
that's a tough question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I would say that, like, I think that his promos are the best that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
His wrestling is what we've always known.
Yeah.
Solid, very solid, great veteran. So, I mean, that's the next WWE guy as well. As I go through the list, I think FTR is FTR, whether it's a revival or FTR, always just a great tag team.
Yeah, I don't see much of a step up for them. Like, they're just getting opportunities to go. Like we saw when they were in NXT, we just didn't see it on the main roster.
It's the best Dustin Rhodes that we've seen.
Sure.
WCW Dustin Rhodes was young. WWF Dustin Rhodes as Goldust was good. You know, it's funny with Goldust. You and I have not seen the best of the Goldust character as far as the in-ring. Those are house shows, apparently. Now the stories come out. Like, him and Shawn Michaels used to tear up the place. Like,
so there's WWE Vault, which is one of the greatest YouTube channels out there. They just find random matches.
That's right.
I believe there's a dark match or a house show match. It's him versus Shawn in a ladder match for a title.
I got to watch that.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that on the road, those two, or just Goldust in general, once in the road, of course, you know, the house show is different from the TV.
Right.
Pull off the wig. Okay. Now I'm going to work.
Right.
Right. Like, I'll still do the histrionics and rub my chest and everything, but otherwise, I'm working. Dustin, though, he's lost so much weight, one. Uh-huh. And two, I mean, I see him in ROH. I mean, he's still doing a good job and understands his role of putting people over.
And he gets to babysit Sammy Guevara now.
Yes. I think that is his job.
Right.
It's like, so he doesn't get in trouble, please watch him.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Jarrett's Jeff Jarrett. Yeah. That's it. So I'm looking through this list, brother. I think we hit the highlights of former WWE people. I still think we put Toni Storm in there because she didn't get the opportunity, really, and it's the best Toni Storm we've ever seen.
So do you put Athena in there?
I do.
Even though no one gets to see it. We got to see it last night, but usually you're the only one watching.
Ember Moon was solid,
yes.
But Athena is fantastic.
Absolutely agreed.
Fantastic. And it is unfortunate that people cannot see her, but I see her, and she's in her bag. She's going to, over 900 days as champion?
Yeah.
Something like that? It's ridiculous. guess you could hold the title 900 times and you defend it 20 times or something like that. Whatever. Should be in the indies more.
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking through. Yeah, I think we hit all the high ones. Taz.
Taz is good on the mic.
Taz worse now than it was.
I also think it's funny they put out there like, oh, we're going to be more selective. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the WWE's, you know, they're hoarding people now. They don't want to release them. They don't want them to go there. It's the other way around where I feel like WWE is not selective when AEW people leave.
Well, that's exactly right.
We could build them up.
Yeah. In this wrestling war that they're in right now, Brian, I just think that, hey man, look at the roster. If you're Tony Khan, do you really need to add more?
No.
Do you really have to add more? If you're WWE, you've got three or four different outlets for your wrestlers. You got people in Evolve right now that you're trying to mold and shape just to get to NXT. And those NXT people are leaving a mass exodus to get to the main roster. We've seen like a number of them have. So you don't have to be able to pilfer each other's talent. You don't have to do that unless you're just trying to hurt them on purpose, which is what Triple H has done.
I mean, this morning on social media, Keith Lee, someone tweeted at him like, wait, you're not injured? Like, do we need to get you back out there? And he responds, I've been good for quite some time. I appreciate the concern. No campaign required. Things happen the way they're supposed to. Eventually, the purpose will show itself. So Keith Lee's apparently just healthy and not being used.
Yeah, I think there's a number of guys in AEW that's like that because it's an arms race. They're just like, well, I'm just going to keep paying you to stay home just so you won't go to Paul Levesque. And it's like, brother, so you're stunting their growth.
Right.
Because as you get older and you sit around, you're not even doing indies, like that sucks.
Yeah.
You want to be able to apply your trade. You want to be able to make an impact. So Keith Lee sitting at home cooking when his wife comes home from the road.
Yeah. And you don't see him anywhere. You don't see him pop up on indies. Like he's just home.
No campaign needed, you say?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I just think that's bad business. Think about when we talk about sports and you have a talent and you just let them sit home. How do you think that would resonate on First Take and all the talk shows? Just like, oh, they're paying them, I don't know, $2 million a year just to stay home. How do you think that works?
So weird.
So why would you do that in wrestling? Because you just want to make sure he doesn't go to the other side? Look. It's like Aleister Black, right? He's there, him and Andrade. Uh-huh. They both go to AEW. They both are stuck in the mid-card. They had some good matches, very good matches. But they were never going to get over as world champion. They're never going to be at the top of the card. Okay, so they go back. And guess what? They're in the same spot they were in WWE. So if you said, Keith, we're gonna make sure that, you know, you go back to with Meechan. At least you guys can travel together, your family. All good. And if they put Keith Lee in the ring, you know what? He'd be in the middle of the card on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So what's the use? Like, what are you holding on to him for?
I don't get it. It's very weird.
I can understand if you thought, you know what? I'm going to hold on to these guys, Brian, because, you know, eventually big plans.
Yeah.
World title matches. But you're just holding on to him and just forgetting about people.
And that's in, like, they did stuff with Keith Lee, and then he got hurt. Like, the Swerve in Our Glory was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And now just nothingness. And, yeah, like, I understand it if it's, like, the potential, like, the prospect, where it's like, well, I can't let this person go. Like, they're going to become a star over there. Like, we got to wait. But that's not what's happening with some of these guys and girls.
You're just letting Wardlow sit.
Yes. Britt Baker.
Wardlow's healthy. Britt Baker's healthy. Nah, we just don't have any room for you yet. Okay, so you have these 4 and 5 hour shows, okay? And you have room for me, but you get, you know, Neon on or some other Mexican talent on? Really? Like I can't wrestle, but they should be on the wrestle. So we get, you know, I just don't understand that. Like you actually have Dynamite and Collision and you have ROH and none of them can get on the air?
Yeah, baffling.
Okay. News and notes, Brian.
All right. We'll start with some good news. Jim Ross on the Grilling with JR podcast announced that he is cancer-free. He is feeling great. And his goal is to make a return to the desk AEW All In on July 12th.
I texted JR and I said, congratulations to your Oklahoma City Thunder. Your Durantless Oklahoma City Thunder win the championship. He does not respond. His phone is on silent, but I know that he's on the mend. So good for him. He says he's feeling better. Good for JR. And boy, he has gone through a lot physically. And so, again, his expertise will be back on the booth in Dallas. And you know what? I hope that he can be able to help the company as much as possible in any capacity. One match, a couple of matches, in the back, whatever. JR's expertise is needed in the company.
Some injury news. PW Insider reporting Chad Gable set to undergo surgery in a few weeks. He will miss some time. Also injured on the WWE side, El Grande Americano also will undergo surgery, and he's out.
Okay, now that's a minute. Now that's not true. Now you just editorialized it. That's not true.
They're both injured.
No. I expect Americano to come out there now, because if Gable can't wrestle, let's see Americano.
That's a coincidence. Both them are just hurt. That's all it is.
Okay. Now, you know what? Now you're making me think that they're the same guy. And I think that that's a problem, because I think that Americano should be out there. Now that Gable's out, Americano should pick up his matches, pick up his bookings.
Kevin Owens, I don't remember where, but he said he thinks Americano is Elijah or Elias or whatever you want to call him.
He thinks
the same person.
Oh, my God. He can't move that fast.
Right.
There's no way he would. And he's hurt too, isn't he? Isn't he hurt?
Oh, yeah. I think he did recently get hurt as well. See?
So maybe. He's hurt too. So that doesn't work. Absolutely not.
On the Raw front, Pat McAfee revealed on the Pat McAfee show he's been absent from WWE to, quote, catch up on life. No word yet if he'll return at Night of Champions this weekend.
Probably not.
I think we would know that. Yeah. Like, I don't watch the show as enough. Also, Corey Graves is better.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Don't tell the McAfee people that, but his fandom. But, you know, when it comes to McAfee, for him to just understand that the Indiana Pacers and all that was a whirlwind. He's got his talk show and everything. But, you know, college football is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And he won't be around for those Mondays probably either. So what does that mean?
I don't know if he just picks and chooses. Like, maybe he just says pay-per-views and Saturday Night Main Event and stuff. They value having him out there.
I know what this is. It's kind of like being teamed with Barstool in some ways, right? It's because you want to be aligned with the brand.
Uh-huh.
I understand that. But Pat is, you know, for all of his bravado out there and his relationship with Michael Cole, Corey Graves is better.
Yeah,
Corey Graves has been better. So it's funny how Corey Graves was about to, I don't know, leave the company or has something to say about leaving. And then all of a sudden he's right back in there. It shows you the patience, right?
Yeah.
He gets a chance to do the AAA show. So it's interesting. Just be patient. Your time will come. Pat McAfee doesn't need WWE.
No.
WWE needs McAfee as far as the rub, if nothing else.
Yeah, and now Corey gets to work double. He does Raw on Monday, NXT on Tuesday.
Oh, boy. He's working.
And finally, news and notes. Talked about it earlier with Christian in AEW. Well, Fightful reports that Adam Copeland's return is still on hold because Christian wants to finish the patriarchy story before the potential Edge and Christian reunion.
So what is the end of the patriarchy story?
Is it – because we need Christian to become a face. So is it Nick Wayne turning?
Nick Wayne needs to be on TV.
Right.
I mean, not just
the television promo. Champion.
No, wrestling.
Oh, okay.
I mean, wrestling on Dynamite and Collision.
Yeah, I'm curious what the turn is, because whenever Cope comes back, you have the FTR payoff. So we assume we get FTR versus Edge and Christian. But to me, the moneymaker is All Out is announced in Toronto.
Yes.
Is Edge and Christian versus the Bucks there?
Edge and Christian against the Bucks. Well, of course, you got to build that story of Christian being a good guy. So he's got to be attacked by the rest of the patriarchy. Does that make him more of a, you know, a sympathetic figure? So the patriarchy beat up on Christian for whatever reason, because he's gone soft or whatever. And then the music hits and here comes Adam Copeland to save Christian, even though they had their battles, even though Christian says, go F yourself.
Right.
All's forgiven that quickly.
Yeah. And also the negative of that is those two then squash Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian, because those are sort of different levels there.
Yeah.
And like, all the patriarchy story is then thrown out the window and all the goodwill you built up is useless.
Yeah. So all these veterans now, all these veterans are supposed to be teaming with these young people in AEW to give them the quote unquote rub, right?
Right.
You know, like Jericho and the Appreciation Society.
Mm.
And all those youngsters got the rub. Man, uh-huh. I'll tell you what. Yeah, I mean, to see Daniel Garcia in every main event, what?
I mean, Action Andretti, he beat Jericho on a Dynamite. It's a big deal. Big that rub for great. His career.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Remember that? Remember Action Andretti in those main events now because of that? See?
Yeah.
Kip Sabian in the back looking goofy does not put him at the top of the card.
Right.
And I look, you and I secretly have seen the Nick Wayne stuff
uh-huh.
from Defy. That guy, holy smokes.
Yes.
That guy can go, but we've never seen any of it on AEW TV because, well, he's young and you don't want to see him go toe-to-toe with Swerve Strickland. God forbid, even though you and I have seen that match.
Right.
You know, like a 30-minute classic. Like and when he was 16.
Yeah.
when he couldn't even drive.
They're in a weird spot. It's almost no win at this situation. It's very odd.
Bad booking.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's bad booking. So that's, you know, I think that we have provided, you and I, breadcrumbs on how we can get Edge and Christian back together. But your time's running out.
Right.
So I'm clear. Adam Copeland's just staying at the crib.
Yep.
Waiting on the storyline. It's not going anywhere.
Yep. Waiting on his guy to say, all right, we can reunite now.
All right. Let's take a look at the matches of the week, Brian.
All right. I got a couple from Dynamite last night. Hangman versus Beast Mordos. More Beast Mordos on my television I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. And the women's four-way last night. Statlander, Willow, Thunder Rosa, Athena. Athena on television equals good wrestling.
Yes. I know there's a movement for her to be able to be part of All In Texas.
Yes. But to me, it feels like last night was the writing on the wall of we're just going to get her in the casino gauntlet and that's it.
Yeah, I think that she deserves better than that. I mean,
I agree.
All the time that she's been champion, I don't understand that. On Monday Night Raw, Becky Lynch against Bayley via disqualification. Now, here's the problem with this, right? Lyra interferes.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it besides just Lyra going crazy, interfering in the matchup. There's a way that matchup, that was not a satisfying finish.
Yep.
There's a way to do that better. And I didn't like the way that Lyra was told, hey, Bayley says, hey, this is my match. No, I'm good. And then all of a sudden she just bursts on the scene and just interrupts the matchup. The matchup was going well. A good TV match ruined by disqualification.
Yeah, I wrote that down also. I love that match besides the WWE-esque finish. Like, they refuse to have clean finishes on television. It's like every other match. It's like, just let them go.
After the droning promo by Seth Rollins, we did get a good Bron Breakker Penta match.
Yeah. I'm curious to talk about, like, the mid-card moving at, like, the end game for Penta. They're putting him on television. They're giving him an opportunities, but like, has he already hit the ceiling there?
Yeah. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? Seriously.
Feels like we've capped out. Like maybe he gets an IC title run at some point.
So here's what's funny about this, right? What's funny about this, Brian, is that AEW talent comes to WWE and an NXT on that brand, you can immediately be the champion.
Yeah.
Cause we saw that with your guy,
Ethan, Ricky.
Ethan. Page and Ricky Starks.
Yeah, who's, yeah, Saints now.
Saints, yes. Yes, I know. So immediately they become North American champion, or they uh-huh. put a title on them, right? WWE, look, Penta has a great entrance.
Yes.
And when he first came out, I mean, he was on fire, and he did his own promo. It was like, oh, Penta speaks. How about that? He can actually talk in English. Pretty good. And then all of a sudden, now the simmering mm-hmm. of Penta. Now, what happened there? Now, same thing with Phoenix, right? Phoenix is in a big spot, loses match. Now, again, two great stars. All of a sudden, you become the Motor City Machine Guns. What happened there?
Yeah, Phoenix isn't even on our television anymore. He had a WrestleMania match.
See?
But they're like, hey, look, we got AEW's toys. Let's throw them out there. It's like, all right, that's enough.
Even the guns,
uh-huh.
same thing, like hot as fire when they come in and just not enough reaction because WWE shit on tag team wrestling for 25 years. So that's why it can't get over on main PLEs. But I like the match. I like to see more Penta because Penta to me I think it'd be a really strong star for them in the singles division.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see like, you know, he's doing this stuff with Braun. They had the match. Like, is there a world where we get a Rollins versus Penta? And does Penta get a rub from that sort of story?
I hope so.
To be involved there. Like, maybe.
I hope so. And let's can you just give Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes their due? That was a good match.
It was good.
Finally. Thank you. Give the man
good carrying by Cody.
Yeah, just give him his due. My God.
You talk about what's next. Like, they're sort of directionless with Jey also.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happens is he starts losing matches. You become world champion, and I'm watching Jey. I'm like, dude, you had to swallow it. I know it's Cody, but now where do you go?
Right.
It's what you said. Great entrance. Yeet, and then that'll be all.
Yep, ring the bell. Like,
oh my God. Poor Jey Uso. Yeah. My God. So, Brian, tell the folks about how our YouTube has been growing. What have you seen from our YouTube?
YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. You get some instant reaction. You had your instant reaction to that Cena pipe bomb on Friday. When was that? Friday,
yes.
Yes. Interview clips. We even had some blasts from the past. We had the newly named JC Mateo way back when, one of our first ever guests on the show. You can hear some clips from him and go find those interviews. But yeah, YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling.
A shout out to the people at Busted Open. The news came down today that Busted Open is now going 24/7. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to change that on the bottom of the screen here on YouTube because they're going with a new name. Have you heard? I know you've been in meetings all day.
Oh.
But Pro Wrestling Nation.
Okay.
24/7. That is the new name for Busted Open. So a new rebranding. And on July 1st, it'll be 24-hour-a-day programming for pro wrestling on SiriusXM Fight Nation. You can catch me there this Sunday as I team with Tommy Dreamer.
Awesome. There we go.
So there's that. All right. So for Brian Rowitz, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for checking out our broadcast. And don't forget, find us on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. Also on a podcast and, of course, on Instagram as well, @GoodKarmaWrestling. So thanks so much for joining us. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.